3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome everyone to the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I am Chris Wickline, SVP of Strategy, and I'll be your host for today. And I'm joined by my co-host, Stephanie Weirwill, EVP of Engagement. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Chris. So happy to be here. And thank you for hosting as we get into some really, really fun topics today.
I know we're switching chairs a little bit. A lot of times you host. So this is, it's new for me to be a little bit more in the driver's seat, but I'm super stoked because I think there are so many things that in this very bite-sized news flash episode that are really passion points for you and your wheelhouse. So excited to talk about them.
Yes, I'm really, really excited about it too. And I think you're a great driver, so glad you're in the driver's seat.
Oh boy, anybody who's actually in a car with me will deny that vehemently. But anyways, so let's get into it in the spirit of keeping our episode fairly short. So Meta recently introduced MovieGen. It's an advanced AI powered media generation tool. It's aimed at competing with OpenAI's Sora. And it basically allows users to create high def video with audio by using text prompts. I know I played with it a little bit. And I don't know much about this, but I was super impressed. But give us the lowdown on this, Stephanie, and your point of view.
Oh yeah, I was also pretty impressed by the promise, and promise is a key word we'll come back to, of Meta's MovieGen. So it launched about a week ago, in early October, and this is another of many in a long line of video generation tools or video generation technology. So, of course, we've had large language models. Of course, ChatGPT made that go mainstream. We've had image generation models. Think Midjourney, think Runway, think Stable Diffusion. And then we've had video generation models. So you mentioned Sora by OpenAI or Google's Veo or Runway. And Meta, of course, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, Instagram, has a lot of business reasons to roll out their own model powered by Meta AI and Llama. And so MovieGen is, again, it's a promise. So right now you can't use it. You can't log in to Meta AI and test it yourself. That's a really key point because right now it's just examples, kind of like Sora. It's not usable yet by average person. And that's probably because the tech isn't perfectly ready. Because when you do try a Runway, the video clips are okay, but they're not really usable yet. So just to kind of take a step back, the way that this works is a user would create a text prompt. So say create a video clip of, I don't know, a panda, a cute panda rolling around in the mud. And a video would come back to you. And Meta, their MovieGen technology is a little different than others for many reasons. Just the basic reason is because it also allows you to edit that footage that you get back. It also allows you to include sound. So we might do a little test here and show some sound for our listeners, but you could give a prompt about what you want the sound to be like and it would add sound. And you can also have it use your likeness. So think like your profile picture or just your face in general and have it create movies and video clips of you, of yourself. So those are some of the key features. I'll just pause there and then we can talk a lot about implications because I think there are a lot of implications to get through. But Chris, what is your reaction in kind of hearing and seeing some of those interesting features?
Well, like I said at the top of this, I was super impressed. But again, I'm not a wonk in this space like you are. So my question for you is how does this demonstration, so to speak, stand out from the other demonstrations that you've seen? And is this a place where Meta has really kind of been put in place in their bets and putting their mark on the AI world?
Well, it absolutely is because Meta a few years ago, you know, after the metaverse didn't quite play out as quickly as maybe expected, which is not dead yet, by the way. But the Ray-Ban Orions have just also recently been rolled out, which is a prototype, but that's another news story for another day. But Meta AI is a really big bet that Meta has put out there. And I think there's a few reasons for that. But first, to answer your question, I do think this is different, and it does stand out from others. And one reason is because it's really meant to be truly multimodal. So back in 2023, Mark Zuckerberg announced what he called AI Sandbox, which included some technology called ImageBind. And it was a vision of technology that could create not just images, not just text, but also audio, as well as depth and thermal, and, you know, leverage all kinds of data to create truly multimodal output. And now MovieGen seems to be that coming to life. And the sound is just really quite phenomenal. Maybe I'll try to, should I try a little demo here? Okay. So let's say that your text prompt was, you've created a video of leaves and they're kind of blowing in the wind, and you want some sound added on top of it, and you ask for rustling leaves and snapping twigs with music, in the background, or custom music. So I'll stop it there, but just a short clip. So you could hear there the rustling leaves kind of coming over the top. You could hear the orchestral music. All of that is AI generated, right? That is all coming from a text prompt. And there are technologies that create music, but I've played around with a lot of them, and they're still, it's very much the experience of when you can tell something's AI. So I'm not saying this is ready yet. I think that's our key point, but it's just a demo of what's coming.
I think just the idea of seeing it and putting it all together, you know, so video that, and knowing this isn't my area of expertise, video that looks pretty darn good, music, sound. I mean, in the demonstration, I was really impressed. I guess it also just made me feel like in this world of AI, you know, again, how do I start telling what is AI generated? And of course, immediately, and particularly with where we are in the calendar, you know, what deep fakes could do. And it just feels like, I was so excited, but at the same time, just a little worried, because it feels like our technology is advancing much more rapidly than our ability to kind of regulate and make sure that people fully understand what they're seeing.
Yeah, let's go there, right? So I think just getting into some of the big picture implications, that is a key one. And another reason why this is different coming from Meta than other tech players is because Meta obviously is our newsfeed. And so Mark Zuckerberg said his prediction is that within a couple of years, Instagram users will be using this technology to create their own AI-generated video, even of themselves. So imagine that, right? I'm already scrolling my newsfeed, seeing so much AI-generated content every day today. On Pinterest, I seem to, if I type in like, you know, haircuts for fall in, 2024, for women, I get AI generated haircut images. And it's just a little bit disconcerting, because I'm like, I wanted a real example. So now put that times millions, and you have news feeds full of content where brands are now not competing with their friends alone. We're competing with AI generated. So that's one implication. I think the other is this has been trained using our personal data. And they've said that, right? It's fascinating to read their 96-page research paper, which they got into all the training details, all the details of the transformer model and the training process and all kinds of calculus and differential equations. It's like, brings me back to high school, but maybe far beyond my level. But the point is, this is a very massive data investment, and the societal implications and the brand implications are way beyond what we can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. Such an exciting topic, something to watch. And I think we can put the paper and kind of the little demo in the show notes so that folks can get a sense of what that looks like. And you too can be wowed and think of what this world is going to be like. But there was another hot topic that we want to make sure that we hit today. Another one that, again, could rock our world a little bit too. So Google has started integrating ads into AI overviews. So the features that provides AI generated search summaries in Google search will now have the opportunity to feature sponsored products within within AI's response. So this feature is initially rolling out among US mobile users. But again, it aims to blend AI summaries with ad placement. So kind of another interesting development that Google has said has been coming. But Stephanie, kind of give us your take and the background on this, and as well as your thoughts on some of the implications.
Yeah, this is a really, I think, important addition to something that has been growing for a while. So we've talked on the show before about AI overviews and kind of given the sense that the description of it, which I'm sure most folks are now using. So when you search for something, you're getting not just all the search keyword link backs where you can click off to various websites, but also the generative AI answer. And so now, to your point, search ads are being included in it. And I think it's a really important answer to some of advertisers' questions. I mean, we've talked in this show about what happens when people stop clicking off to our website. What happens to SEO? What is the future of search? And we've tackled that here on this show. But recently, just a few days ago, actually, Google CEO Sundar Pichai did a high-profile interview with the David Rubenstein Show on Bloomberg, and he addressed that very question. So he said, you know, we think about this holistically. When people come in searching for information, they're looking for commercial info as well as other kinds of info. That was a core insight of monetizing Google search in the first place. And now that we're adding this technology of generative AI infused into search, that we're not changing the user behavior. We're just including an additional tech way of displaying the information back. So I personally appreciated that they addressed that head on and that they're thinking about advertisers' needs as they evolve the tech.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, it'll be interesting to watch. In some ways, it feels like it's like, oh, you know, we're doing this and don't worry. And in other ways, I started playing around just to see what this looked like as an amateur with some different searches. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, when I did a search around, you know, what are the top places to go for organ transplants in the US? You get, you know, an AI overview, and then you get kind of sponsored ads by some folks maybe that I wasn't expecting. I played around on national, kind of regional and state levels. They didn't, you know, AI overviews weren't appearing at the more granular levels, but it really makes me wonder. And I think it's something also to watch. Because, you know, all of a sudden those sponsored links are in line after the AI overviews, and you talk about scrolling and scrolling, and you kind of wonder again what changes with user behavior. So in my mind, it really feels like this is something to watch and learn about.
Yeah, the other thing that makes me think, I just can't help but say, okay, what if, let's take this three steps further. So while this is really a natural integration into search and Google search business, it also makes me think about ads integrated into generative AI more generally. So of course, also big news in the last couple of weeks is that OpenAI is now needing to transform from a nonprofit to a for-profit and kind of make up some of that massive expenses and investments that have been put towards developing the model. They have subscription revenue, and a lot of it coming from the premium versions and the enterprise versions. But what they haven't done yet, and maybe they won't, is integrate advertising. So just imagine, in the same way that advertising is coming into AI overviews, imagine that in your large language models of all kinds. I just think that's going to be an interesting world if we get there.
There's an opportunity for us to do a much deeper dive on this one as we start also learning more and seeing more. So excited to watch that. And then I think we have trying to wrap up one final little headline, of course, that we want to get in today is Walgreens announced that it's going to close about 1,200 store locations. And so I don't know, Stephanie, it's feeling like there's no longer happy and healthy on every corner in a neighborhood near you. What do you think about this?
Oh, I'm bummed out. Yeah. I really am. I think we've discussed this a lot, the new entrants in healthcare and kind of where we personally are placing our bets in terms of who might win out. And retail health, the promise of it has been really enticing. To Walgreens has said, you know, that their goal was to build out the full continuum of care. And it's a nice vision, but it is just very complicated from a business standpoint. And as of this moment, it's not quite playing out.
You know, and I think it's so fascinating to me because I used to joke that Walgreens was my favorite store when they were experimenting with food, because I'm notoriously, I never used to be a grocery shopper and I begrudgingly do it, but I could go into Walgreens. I could get my, you know, any of my health and beauty aids, and then I could also grab, you know, snacks and even fruit. I mean, I was like, okay, this is amazing. But, you know, the retail pharmacy landscape and the profitability due to kind of, you know, lower price deals with PBMs, lower cost of mail order drugs, and then kind of, you know, the whole environment around retail where, you know, retail and Amazon and other big players, you know, are coming into it. These small format retail stores are really working hard, but it really does pain me a little bit too, because I love the convenience of it. And I don't know, maybe it's just feeling like I'm old school. And I drank the Kool-Aid on the promise of integrated care. I still think there's an opportunity for it. I just wonder if it gets down to, again, you know, the fundamentals of their business were eroding and they just didn't have the time and energy to really kind of make the bigger investments to make it work.
Yeah, I'm also not quite ready to give up on it yet, the promise of it. And I think closing stores, shutting down real estate does not necessarily equal, okay, they've failed in their healthcare play. I think the original healthcare play included the fact that, hey, we're, you know, what is the stat? Within 5 miles of 95% of Americans or something of that nature. So it didn't, that was the original strategy, was, all right, we have this great real estate footprint. Imagine how now we can add on healthcare and create a full acuity funnel. That shift doesn't mean the whole thing falls apart. It just means they or someone else has to rethink it. And to your point, the smaller players, One Medical or Forward or others, are popping up real estate. So there's a million different ways to do it. And I'm still bullish on the general idea of retail health entering healthcare in a big way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we've gone a little bit longer than we planned, but there were some really cool things here to talk about. So I think we should wrap it up with that. Stephanie, thanks so much for being here and sharing your expert point of view and your enthusiasm. And thank you all of you for listening and joining in. If there's something you want us to cover on the No Normal Show, shoot us an email at nonormal@bpdhealthcare.com. Also, make sure you share the show with friends and colleagues and give us a review and rating on iTunes and Spotify. All of that would be so much appreciated. And until next time, don't ever be satisfied with the normal. Push that no normal, y'all. And hey, Stephanie, speaking of no normal, we're going to be at HLTH next week, aren't we?
That's right. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited, Chris. It is like my favorite moment of the year, the health conference, HLTH, depending on how various folks say it. We'll be in Las Vegas live with the No Normal Show next week, and we want to talk to you. So if anybody out there is going to health, you'll be in Las Vegas, and you want to be featured on the show, we're going to be interviewing folks and getting people's perspective on the future of healthcare and then sharing that back out on our show. We'll be hitting the ground daily and giving recaps of what's happening. So tune in. If you're not there, tune in to see what's happening. If you are there, come find us. Say hi.
All right. Can't wait. A whole few days with you, Stephanie, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Oh my goodness. I love it. It's always exhausting, but exhilarating.
All right. We'll see you there. Hopefully, if not, tune in. Thank y'all. 3, 2, 1.